If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 21st chapter of the book of John. The 21st chapter of the book of John. We know that John was the one that the Bible would say he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. The book of John is one that a lot of times kind of gives information that sometimes some of the other gospel writers do not give. And I want us to try to cover at least most of this chapter, the Lord being our helper. And again, I ask an interest in your prayers. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. The Lord Jesus had already died upon the cross of Calvary. He had already undergone the cruel mockings of men. He had already drank of the cup of the wrath of Almighty God for my sins and for yours and for all the sins of the elect family of God. I'm sure the disciples had been through a flood of emotions that all this had transpired to see their Lord that they had followed along the hills of Galilee some 3.5 years, to see him suffer just so much and to be aware of all the things that have happened. Then the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead with power and great glory. This would be the third time that the Lord Jesus would appear to these disciples. And it said, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again. What a blessing when Jesus shows himself. The Song of Solomon, the bride rejoices that she's able to see her beloved, her husband, her Savior, the King, through the lattice. Now I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ shows himself, it is a tremendous and wonderful blessing. He's going to show himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is known by different names in the Bible. We usually know it as the Sea of Galilee. In John chapter 6 and verse 1, this same sea, the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, will also be called the Sea of Gennesaret. In the Old Testament, this sea is sometimes called, in the book of Joshua, and also in other Old Testament books, as the Sea of Chinnereth. Chinnereth literally has the connotation of harps. And I'm not sure if this is the reason they call it Chinnereth, but if you look on a Bible map of the Bible times and the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sea of Galilee is kind of shaped like a harp. And some have speculated that it was called the Sea of Chinnereth because of that. It's known by different names, but it's what most of the time we would call the Sea of Galilee. It was the place where Jesus was often on a boat and around this sea with his disciples during his ministry. So they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. He begins by naming some of the disciples that were there. All of the disciples were not there. There were some 7 disciples that were blessed to see the Lord, to see where the Lord showed himself on this occasion. And what a wonderful blessing it was. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now I've heard numerous people say that the disciples did wrong by going fishing, that they did wrong by being in Galilee. And the reason that's sometimes said is if you'll look over in Acts chapter 1, which is just one page over in my Bible, we'll see these verses. I'll just pick up in verse 4 for a context for the brevity of time. It said, "And being assembled together with them," that is, the Lord was assembled together with his disciples, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." So there was a time after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that he tells his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. But I'm going to give these disciples a little break here. Jesus also told them to go into Galilee. And I don't necessarily think these disciples were doing wrong by what they did on this occasion. The Lord Jesus doesn't rebuke them. And I don't really feel that I should look and rebuke them. Let's go to the book of Matthew, where we'll see where the Lord Jesus repeatedly told them to go to Galilee. We look in Matthew chapter 28. The Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, and some of those godly sisters that did such a wonderful job of ministering to the Lord Jesus and to his disciples have gone to the tomb. And there's an angel there, and we won't cover all these scriptures for the sake of time, but there was an angel there that tells these godly sisters in verse 6, "He's not here." He said, "We know that ye seek Jesus, for he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And that angel gives them the wondrous, glorious news that that Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary, is no longer in the tomb, but he's risen from the dead. What joyous news that was. He said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now, as those women were going to do what the angel of God told them to do, the Lord Jesus himself appears unto them. And listen to what he tells them. "And as they went," this is verse 9 of Matthew 28, "and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them." What a glorious sight that must have been for these godly sisters to see the one that they had witnessed die upon that cruel cross, to see him right there in the flesh and with them. Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. What a scene that must have been. "Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Down in verse 16 of Matthew 28, you see, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So we see the Lord Jesus had plainly told them repeatedly that there was going to be a time after his resurrection they should go into Galilee. And he said, "I'm going to see you there in Galilee." We see that sweet time where they go up on the mountain and they're blessed to worship the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that must have been to endure all they endured, to see all that Jesus had suffered, and to wonder for a while if the cross of Calvary was a great defeat, but then to realize the truth that it wasn't a great defeat, but was the greatest victory that's ever been won, and now to have the sweet and wonderful privilege to be worshiping the risen Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. So no, I don't think these disciples did wrong by going to Galilee. And I don't think they were doing wrong by fishing on this occasion. There would be a time where they should stay at Jerusalem. If you look back in the previous chapter of John chapter 20, you'll see where the Lord Jesus appeared unto him on that very first day, that first day of the week. He appeared unto the disciples. And the first time he appeared, there in John chapter 20, it says, or John chapter 20 and verse 19, says, then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. The disciples are still afraid. They shouldn't have been afraid, but they were afraid. They're afraid of the Jewish authorities. They're afraid that the same ones that called on Jesus to be crucified might do the same to them. They're afraid. They don't yet understand totally the victory of the cross. But as they've got the door shut, they're still in Jerusalem at this time. They've got the door shut and they're afraid of the authorities. Jesus himself comes with them. Said Jesus, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Don't you know they were glad? Don't you know that all of their fears at this moment in time when they looked upon the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that all their fears faded into the background? They were glad when they saw the Lord. What a blessing that must have been. He showed them his hands and his feet, his hands that had been pierced for their sins, his side that had been thrust through with that Roman soldier's spear. He said, peace be unto you. My Father has sent me, even so send I you. There was one that wasn't there on that occasion. His name was Thomas. It's Thomas called Didymus. The word Thomas is an interesting name. It means twin. And the word Didymus means twain, two. So his name, Thomas, also called Didymus, twin, and there's two. So it's a very interesting name. Sometimes I feel like I can be Thomas's twin when I doubt, when I shouldn't doubt. Thomas called Didymus, twin, twain. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared. He's got all these disciples that have walked with the Lord Jesus all this time, and they're telling him, Thomas, we saw him. We saw his hands. We saw his feet. We saw the nail pierced, the sword pierced side. And Thomas said, unless I see the print of the nails, unless I stick my hand into his side, I will not believe. It would be 8 days before the Lord Jesus would show himself again unto them. You know the first thing he says, it's later in John chapter 20. Verse 26, it said, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst. Notice how when Jesus appears unto them, he's right in the middle. He's right there close. He's right in the center of all of them. What a blessing when the Lord meets in the center of his church, where the Lord meets in the middle of all of us so we all may see glimpses of his glory. What a blessing that is. He stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Their lives have felt like anything but peace, but the Lord gives them the sweet news that I won the victory on the cross. Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. He says those introductory remarks, and then he gets right to Thomas. And he says, Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Then saith unto him Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord Jesus specifically talks to Thomas to reveal the sweet news that I've risen from the dead. Here's all the evidence you need. And Thomas is blessed to be with the disciples in this next chapter where the Lord Jesus again appears to them. They had gone fishing. So that night they caught nothing, it tells us at the end of verse 3 of John 21. They didn't just catch a little fish. They didn't catch just a few fish. They caught nothing. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15 when he told his disciples, Without me, ye can do nothing. And we'll see what the disciples were able to do without the Lord. Then we're going to see what they did with the Lord. Without the Lord, they caught nothing. But with the Lord, they're going to be tremendously blessed. Said, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So here's Jesus standing on the shore, but all the disciples really see there's some man up there. And he hollers out and said, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. Now the Lord Jesus never ever asked a question because he needed information. You think the Lord Jesus knew they hadn't caught any fish last night? Certainly he knew it. You think Jesus knew they didn't have any meat? They didn't have any food. Jesus knew it. He knew they had nothing. Jesus knew it. But he asked the question for their benefit. Children, have you any meat? He said, No, we don't have any. He said, Cast on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now we as old Baptists, we love the shalls of the Bible. We love what the angel told Joseph. She shall bring forth a son. She shall bring forth a son. And thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No doubt with shall. When the Lord Jesus told him, Cast on the right side of the boat and ye shall find, I'm going to tell you that was an authoritative statement that was going to come to pass. So they did it. They did what Jesus said. And now it says, They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. It was so many fish, they could hardly even draw it in. And it clicks in John's mind about this time. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, the man who's blessed to pen these words, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Peter, the man on the shore, It is the Lord. What words that must have been. They had seen the Lord Jesus there, scared and in the upper room. On that first day of the week, they had been blessed to see him 8 days later, still in Jerusalem. But he had told them to go to Galilee, and they had done that. But it doesn't seem like they were really expecting to see the Lord this day. But they were blessed to see him. Jesus did a great, wondrous miracle. Now I'm going to tell you, To the human fisherman mind, it really didn't make good sense after they had fished all night and caught nothing to again cast their net out this morning. They didn't know it was Jesus on the shore at this time. You know, there was another time in Luke chapter 5 where the Lord Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought, that is, for a multitude of fishes. Peter said, "Lord, we toiled all the night and have caught nothing." Peter said, "We've done everything we could as professional fishermen. We've used all the techniques. We've gone to the very best places we need to go. And we've toiled all the night with all the expertise we have as professional fishermen, Lord. And we caught nothing." But thank God Peter didn't stop in Luke chapter 5 with that. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Lord, even though it makes no sense to me, because you said it, Lord, I'll let down the net." Sometimes that's the way God operates. He tells us to do things that may not make sense to us. Nevertheless, may we be like Peter. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Peter let it down on that occasion, and they caught a multitude of fishes that were so much that boat began to sink. So they called their partners in another boat and they put a bunch of fish in their boat and that boat began to sink. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's what they're able with the blessing of God to see. Without the Lord, man can do nothing. But with the Lord, we can be tremendously blessed. They didn't know it was the Lord, but there must have been something about this man on the beach that caused him to obey. Something about him just seems like we ought to do what this man says. And they did. They caught a multitude of fishes and they realize it's the Lord. According to what the Bible said and changing the measurements to measurements we're familiar with, they were about 100 yards from the shore. As soon as Peter heard John say, "It is the Lord," Peter's like, "I gotta go to him. I can't wait for the boat. I can't wait for these fish. I can't wait till we drag all this to the shore. I gotta go now and be with my Lord." The Bible said Peter was naked, but he girded about him a fisher's coat and he jumped into the water, and I believe he swam as fast as he could to get to the Lord Jesus. I looked on the way down here and at the average temperature of the Sea of Galilee, and it was probably in the 50s degrees at this time. It would get up as much as into the 70s in the day. This is still morning. I imagine Peter's cold when he jumped into the water. But he wasn't worried about the cold water. He wasn't worried about anything other than getting as close as he could to his Savior and his Lord. I hope that's our heart cry this morning. As little children of God that are blessed to see through an eye of faith glimpses of the glory of our risen Christ, the same one he saw on the beach, the same one that blessed him with that multitude of fishes. We're blessed even in 2021 through an eye of faith to see that same risen Savior today. And I would to God that it always be the cry of my heart to be absolutely as close to him in fellowship and in truth as I can. I want to be close to him. That was the desire of Peter's heart. Therefore, that disciple, pick up in verse 8. "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits," again, that'd be about 100 yards, about 300 feet, roughly, dragging the net with fishes. They had to drag the net. The net wasn't floating. The net was dragging. That's how many fish there was. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. And fish laid thereon and bread. Here's the Lord Jesus. He's already on the shore. And they get up there. Here's Peter, probably cold, maybe shivering from that cold water he had just swam in. But the Lord's got a fire. This was a fire built by the Lord. Lord's got a fire there, and they were blessed. Both Peter and the other disciples, who may not have been as wet as Peter, but probably in pulling all those fish in, they were probably wet and cold as well. But they were able to come to the warmth of the fire of their Savior and their Lord. He had them some fish, not fish that they caught, fish that he had. You see, the Lord Jesus was fishing that day. Maybe he fished miraculously. Maybe he made the fish appear. Maybe he caught the fish the way men would usually catch them. I don't know, but the Lord caught fish that morning. He already had some fish there for them. And it was ready. He had bread for them. You see, the Lord Jesus had everything they needed. He had fire for them to warm themselves, fish for them to eat, and bread for them. He had everything they needed. You know, that Lord's still the same today. He's got everything we need. We don't need to look for any other place to be able to meet the needs that we have, but our Lord is able to meet our needs. He's able to give us what we need. He's able to feed us. He's able to keep us warm. Don't you imagine? That was a good meal that day. Jesus fixed this meal. I've been blessed to eat a lot of good cooking of old Baptist sisters here and in other states. And to eat the good cooking of old Baptist brethren both here and in other places around the country. And I've been blessed to eat some good things. But can you imagine being able to eat what the Lord Jesus cooked? He provided. He cooked it. Can you imagine the meal? You think the disciples were hungry? They had been fishing all night. Lord Jesus took care of that. He had what they needed, and he still has what we need in 2021. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. See, it wasn't just an unusual number of fish they caught. The fish they caught were really, really great, big fish. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't have to exaggerate. He tells us in the Word there were great fishes. We've all seen fishing pictures where you hold the fish as close as you can to the camera, and then you're way back here, and it kind of makes the fish look a little bigger. I know those tricks. I've done those tricks. The Lord Jesus doesn't have to exaggerate. He tells us in his Word, these were great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now, why did they say that? Again, these are professional fishermen here. The man that the Lord blessed to pen the book of John under the inspiration of God is a professional fisherman. Why did he say the net didn't break? I believe because it took a miracle of the Lord for the net not to break on that occasion. That's how great and how many these fishes were. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Didn't give them a place at his table because they were worthy. No. All of them. When Jesus was on the in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that all of them forsook him and fled away. Every one of them. We see Thomas, even after he was raised from the dead, didn't believe. We see Peter, though he had boasted, though all men forsake thee, yet will I never forsake thee, Lord. I'll lay down my life for you. Denied that very night that he made that boastful statement. Three times that he even knew the Lord. And the last time with a curse on his lips. Know their place at this Lord's table, where he said, come and dine. I've got the fire. I've got the fish. I've got the bread. Their place at that table was not because of any good thing they had done. It was because of the unconditional love of their Savior and their Lord. So it is with us. To be blessed to be at the table of the Lord, not based on our works, but based upon his unconditional love for us and the precious blood he shed for us on Calvary's tree, that we still have a place at his table. Now we need to come. The disciples had the opportunity to say, no, I guess we'll go somewhere else. That would have been a crazy thing to do. And they all came. And it's up to us to all come. The Lord's provided the table. He's provided our place at the table by his wondrous and matchless unconditional love and grace. May we always come to it. It's a table that meets everything that we need. It's a table where the Lord feeds us, where the Lord gives us everything we need. Jesus then cometh. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. None of them asked him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. Now that's a little bit of a curious statement. I don't know if the Lord Jesus may have looked a little bit different than what they were used to him looking. But I'll tell you one thing, they knew it was the Lord because nobody can bless and do miracles like this man did but the Lord. They knew, nobody asked, are you the Lord? Because they knew, knowing it was the Lord. Have you ever been in a good gospel meeting where you've been blessed to worship the Lord in service after service after service, and you felt the abundant blessing of the Holy Spirit of God, and you've been blessed through an eye of faith and the touch of faith to touch, as it were, the hem of the garment of our Savior and our Lord? You've been blessed to feel full of the Holy Spirit of God and been blessed through an eye of faith to see the glory of our risen Savior. And you leave a meeting like that full and so thankful for all that you've been blessed to receive at the matchless hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I never hear anybody saying after a meeting like that, was that the Lord? Was that the Lord? You know why? Because every one of us knows that's the Lord. That's the Lord. We've been with him. We've partaken of his blessing, knowing it was the Lord. Nobody had to ask. said, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So we see the two times in the previous chapter, one in Jerusalem where Thomas wasn't there. Then the second time in Jerusalem where Thomas was there, and Jesus speaks directly to him and says, put your finger into the print of the nails. Put your hand into my side and hear. Again, I don't think they were necessarily expecting to see the Lord on this particular day. But they had done what he said. They had gone to Galilee. And he said, I'm going to see you there. And the Lord Jesus, as he always does, kept his word. You know, the Lord tells us today, come to my house. Come to the place where they worship me in spirit and in truth, and I'll see you there. Come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, do you love me more than these? Some people think Jesus was saying, do you love me more than these fish? I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. I think he was saying, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Why do I think that? That's the boast he had made. He didn't say, Lord, I love you more than I love fish. He said, though all men forsake thee, though James and John and all the other disciples forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. The insinuation, I love you more than they do. I think the King James translators agree with that, because if you look in the center column of a Bible that retains the King James original text notes and verses, they send you to the verse I just quoted, to another verse in Mark that's similar, where it's repeated. Peter, do you love me more than James and John and all these others? How does Peter answer? Peter's learned from his mistake. He's not going to give that great boast, Lord, I love you more than all of them do. He's not going to say that again. And that's good, I think, on Peter's part. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Lord, I love you. I'm not going to say I love you more than all these others, Lord, but I love you. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Peter, you need to feed the little lambs, the baby sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. He asked Peter again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now the Lord had just done what? What had he done when he told him to come and dine? What had he done when he had the fire and the fish and the bread laid out? He had taken care of his disciples. He had fed the sheep in a literal way. But he's going to paint a spiritual lesson in that. Peter, you do like I've done. Did the disciples ever lack for anything while they were with Jesus? No. If he had to take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes among 5,000 men, not counting women and children, it was enough at the hand of the Lord. The Lord Jesus always took care of them.
He was always the good shepherd that looked after the sheep. And now the Lord Jesus tells Peter, you do that. Peter, you follow me who am the chief shepherd. You're the under shepherd. You follow me as the chief shepherd and you feed my sheep. He wasn't to feed them food that came from himself. He was to feed them food that came from him. You remember what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children? He produced a great miracle, and what did he do? He gave it to the disciples, and then the disciples gave it to the multitude. Gospel ministers don't need to come up with their own thing in feeding the sheep. We better feed the sheep what the Lord gave us. We better feed the sheep the food that comes from the Lord. Now he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Every single sheep is important. The little lambs are important. The middle-aged sheep are important. The older sheep, every sheep is important. And the Lord Jesus says, you feed everyone. The word feed in the first time and the word feed the last time is the same Greek word. The second time the word feed is used, it's even a little broader. The first and the last mean pretty much just feed. The feed in the middle means a little bit more than feed. It means to tend. It means to shepherd them in a variety of ways. To feed them, yes, it's part of that word. But even more that, to help them when they're hurting, to they get lost and on the wrong path, to help bring them back. And he tells Peter, Peter, if you want to show that you love me. No, he's connected. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Love, feed sheep. You'd think Peter may have been wondering, by the way, the Lord did this three times, and how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. Do you think Peter was looking, Lord, after I messed up so bad, how can I show you I love you? He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. This sentiment, the Lord was always interested in the sheep being fed. Something that's reiterated throughout the Bible. When the Apostle Paul was giving last words unto the elders, to the ministers of the church of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as he's speaking to these preachers, to these ministers, to these elders, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He said, ministers, you're overseers of the flock to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whose sheep are these? Not Peter's sheep, not Mark Wall's sheep. They're the Lord's sheep. How precious are they to him? He said, I purchased them with my own blood. The sheep are to be taken care of. The sheep are to be guided. The sheep are to be fed, which comes from God himself. He said, you take the oversight, Peter. Or these Ephesian elders, it's your responsibility. It says, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Part of the shepherd's job was to keep a lookout for things that may hurt the sheep, the wolf and the bear and the lion, and to protect the sheep, to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep. The Lord keeps telling Peter, you do that. You do that, Peter. I want to go to one other place before we go back to John chapter 21.
We go to 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter's writing. The man that the Lord Jesus is saying this to is now being blessed to pen the book of 1 Peter. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders, that is the ministers, which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder." Peter was an apostle. He was very high in authority. He had walked with the Lord Jesus. But what does he tell these preachers? He said, "I'm also an elder. I'm a preacher, just like you. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Again, gospel ministers are to take the oversight, not by constraint. That is, not because you feel like you have to, but because the Lord's burdened you, you want to. Remember Brother Rex always saying, some folks say they got to go to church. He said, "I want to go to church." And that principle's kind of intimated here. A preacher doesn't need to be like, "Well, I guess I got to preach today. I got to shepherd the flock of God today." But because the Lord has burdened our hearts, his ministry, it ought to be our pleasure to take the oversight. It ought to be our pleasure to feed the sheep of God. It ought to be our pleasure to look out for the wolf and the lion that may be hurt the sheep. It ought to be our pleasure to take care of the Lord's sheep. What a blessing it is. What an awesome responsibility it is. But he said, don't do it by constraint. But he said, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. He said, of a cheerful readiness. Be ready to take care of the Lord's sheep, to feed the Lord's sheep. Then he gives the sweet news when the chief shepherd. He said, elders, you're under shepherds, but there's a chief shepherd. We always better be doing what he wants us to do. Following him, like Paul said, the apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, after the Lord Jesus tells Peter those three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, he tells him this, and we'll close with this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself. Means you put your clothes on, you put your belt on, and thou walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had thus spoken, he saith unto him, follow me. He tells Peter, Peter, I'm telling you to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. I'm telling you, Peter, if you want to show that you love me with all of your heart, you'll do this. But Peter, I'm going to tell you, in you doing this, you are going to die for preaching the gospel to this sheep. He told him, yeah, you've always gone where you wanted to. You girded your clothes on. But he said, there's coming a day somebody else is going to take you, Peter. They're going to gird you. They're going to take you to a place you don't want to go. According to history, Peter was taken and was going to be crucified for preaching the gospel. The Lord here hints to him, Peter, by following me, by being totally obedient to me, Peter, it's going to mean your life. Peter, are you willing to give your life for me? And Peter was. He had been afraid at one moment when he denied the Lord. He wasn't ready to die for the Lord at that time. But there comes a day when Peter says, I'll die for you, Lord. I love you that much.
And if feeding your lambs and feeding your sheep and feeding your sheep means I must die, then I'll die out of my rich and unboundless love for you. Lord, the love that you put in my heart for you. Then what does Jesus say? Follow me, Peter. You know what Peter does? He follows him. Then Peter looks back and there's John following. He said, what about this man, Lord? What's going to happen to him? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. He said, Peter, you do what I've told you to do. You feed my lambs, you feed my sheep, you feed my sheep, you take care of them. And yes, Peter, you being faithful to me is going to mean you give your life for me. But don't worry about what John's doing, Peter. You just do what I've told you to do. Follow me. How much love do I have for the Lord? How much love do you have? Do we love him so much? Would we still follow him if it means our life? Peter did, and Peter followed. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.